Mr. Marty Lurian. Welcome in the great Bruce Jenkins, who I believe is out at the Memorial in Berkeley. Bruce, the Cal Golden Bears back up on top of Portland State.
Yeah, it's the Cal just went ahead 24-20. It's been a little scary. The Cal defense has been just remarkably bad. I mean, just giving up massive chunks of yardage. But it's a really exciting game. It doesn't feel like major college football necessarily, but it's been pretty exciting.
As they say, Bruce, that's football.
Yes.
Let them play. Right. Let the kids play.
It's time to. We're looking through the window of baseball with Bruce Jenkins, brought to you by Marvin Windows and Doors. And True and White, the professional builder's choice. Bruce, with us here, of course, Pat, myself, and Gary Hughes, the legendary scout, is here.
Oh, yeah. One of my favorite people.
Hey, Bruce, how's Jared Goff done?
He's had his moments. He just threw a TD pass to put him ahead. He scored on a one-yard run. He's got a lot of composure. Kid out of Marin County. He looks like he's on his way to some more big numbers. But they've got to win this game, and Portland State's making it a lot more interesting than anyone thought.
Yeah, I drafted his father and also
and also
then traded for him when he came over to the Expos.
Yeah, his dad's a firefighter now, isn't he?
In Millbrae, right.
Yeah, good stock, and the kid's got an awful lot of composure for a true freshman.
Yeah, I saw him play at Marin Catholic a couple times last year. He's a good player.
Yeah.
Well, for those who don't know the voice, that's the legendary Gary Hughes, an icon of scouting here in the Bay Area, now with the Boston Red Sox, and he's getting close to the legendary record of George Brunette, who was with about 14 different teams. So you're getting closer.
I'm getting there. I think that
he ended up in Mexico. Have you ever scouted in Mexico?
Many times.
All right. Hey, Bruce, what
so
did you
have I, by the way, Marty.
Have you really?
It's a lot of fun.
All right.
Oh, yeah?
What did you scout?
Bars and cantinas and all that.
Bruce, as you can...
I try to have a drink at least once every spring with Gary. He's the man.
Yeah. All right. Now, what did you think last night? I mean, we've talked about today, one of the most exciting games. I was thinking in AT&T Park history, I'd say, maybe the top 10 of exciting games out here, and it did it for me last night.
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, I was not at the game. They were sort of forced into duty to make some comments about it in my Saturday column. But, I mean, it's just the fact that the place was jammed, this stage of the season for a petite start. I mean, that says so much about the scene out there. But unbelievable game. I mean, Pence goes deep again. He's making such a nice late run. He takes a perfecto and then two outs in the ninth. I mean, and, he just he has such great command all of a sudden. It's not a world-class fastball. It's not the greatest off-speed pitches you've ever seen, but he's mixing them up so well, and he's fooling guys routinely now three starts in a row. So it adds a little interesting wrinkle in terms of the pitching staff for next year.
You know, the drama of the moment to be out here and experience it, the ballpark just became alive. You weren't 20 games out. You were in the game 162 for the pennant last night, and it really was an amazing moment. Did you see the last at-bat with Chavez?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, how'd you like that? There goes 2-0, then Cuzzy gives him two strikes, like knee-high. I mean, it was, right on the corner. And then I was hoping he'd throw the same pitch, and he came in with a curveball.
Yeah, he could have had that punch-out just on principle. It was such a nice pitch. I guess it could easily have been legitimately called a ball, which it was. But I don't know. Just on general principle, I would have liked to see him punch him out right there.
Well, I brought up the old Babe Pinelli, with
that's right.
Dale Mitchell, and he just raised that
right
arm,
right.
And he walked away into retirement.
Yeah, and I'm sure Yogi loved that one to this day.
Yeah, it was good. But, Bruce, you and I talked about Petit, and again, the impact on the pitching staff, Pat brought it up to me, maybe on Lincecum. I think it's more on Godin as to where he may fit in.
Yeah, definitely. I'm really not sure how much they're counting on Godin for next year, if it's even with the club. He's tended to move around quite a bit, and I think now for him to come back as a starter is pretty much of a long shot. I think he might be looking elsewhere in the free agent market. He made a pretty good case for himself as a starter. Teams are always looking for a guy who can pitch six, seven good innings, so I'm not sure Godin's going to be around. And if that is the case, Petit's coming on as strong as he is huge for them.
Gary Hughes is with us. He's a scout now with the Boston Red Sox. This year he's smiling. Really, you've been there many years. You won many national awards for scouting. What was your take on Petit last night?
it was a thrill. I mean, just watching it. I was sitting with Kevin Towers, the general manager.
You're not in the bingo game. You can't name drop, okay?
Oh, okay. Anyhow, Kevin got up at the top of the ninth and says, I'll let you guys stay here for the history, and left. He doesn't like to watch relief pitchers thrown for him in the ninth.
Well, he had him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure if he was still there with him. Towers may not have been there yet.
And you're right. I saw he played at Albuquerque, and I was thinking that Dodge, but that's when he was with Florida.
That's right. But your take on Petito as a pitcher last night, why was he so effective?
Location. It's just like, you know, real estate. Location, location, location. I mean, his stuff is average at best, and he just did a great job of locating his pitches. It was a thrill to be here. I mean, I was going to go upstairs and plug in my phone. I was losing the power on the phone. I couldn't leave my seat because I thought I'd be jinxing him.
Are you into the jinx?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Bruce, are you into the jinx, too?
Not really. It annoys me when guys on the radio or TV will not say he's got a no-hitter going or a perfect game. I mean, really? I mean, you're going to influence this? If you say that, it's over? I mean, come on now. You got to tell the public what's going on. Don't dance around it.
Yeah, the only one who could do it, influence the public, would be Ray Ratto.
Ray actually probably could influence, worldwide the developments, not just baseball.
Yeah, I mean, he there's something about his power that if he said there was a perfect game, it would end right away.
It's like Vladimir Putin and Ray Ratto, one-two,
there's
right?
There's something strange about him.
We all know, countries have gone to war over Ray Ratto's influence. So he's big. He's big, lady.
As well they should, Bruce.
Bruce, any other thoughts this week? The Giants all of a sudden broke loose this week. Sandoval, 3 homers in a game. As you've pointed out all year long, you've loved Pence all year. Crawford, a left-handed home run off of Stoltz. He hit the foul pole and crushed it. All of a sudden, I do the TLC for Kids home runs. I went from 78 to 88, I think, in a week.
I think it's been obviously way too late, but they're going to come back probably with a very familiar looking lineup. I mean, they might make one or two changes, tops in the starting lineup, and I think it's important for these guys to show that as bad as this year was, these guys aren't stiffs. These are good ball players. Quite a few of them are still on the way up. Belton, Crawford, and those guys, and they're showing what they can do. So it just gives a little bit of hope for spring training, just to show that you have to have seen these guys at their best. Sandoval especially, as up and down he's been, and everybody's been trying to trade him or put him on the weight scales or whatever. And I always love it when he has a big game because he's such a good hitter and a good athlete, and he does need to lose that weight. So I just think these little glimpses of hope are big because these are the guys that they're going to need to carry them next year.
All right. Hey, Bruce, one other thought about, I said on the 40-man roster, there are people up here who may not be on the 40-man roster. I think people are getting a look at some players, and maybe they're playing them off the roster.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not sure as far as the veterans, I'm not sure Torres is going to be back. I don't think they've been impressed at all with Till or Kieschnick, at all. I mean, the outfield's going to have a different look there on the bench and whoever's playing left field. Hembry, different story. Hembry looks like he's going to be a bullpen guy for them next year. But it's true. I mean, a lot of the guys that have come up haven't really shown anything. And I don't know if they've written themselves out of the organization, but they've definitely damaged their chances to be a factor on this next year's opening day roster, for sure.
Yeah, why carry him? If you got scouting going on, you may be able to replace him with someone. You've seen him in the big leagues. So, you've seen it, so maybe you look for someone else as a six-year free agent to add to the roster. Or you sign somebody for the roster.
Yeah, they need to make some changes. They need to come back with a whole new bench, outside of maybe Arias. See if Hector Sanchez is up to, being healthy and being in there. But they need to change their bench all around. That's going to be a big part of the new look that they have.
How'd you like Perez coming in to make the catch in the sixth inning?
Well, that guy is electric. I really like that guy. I was afraid to see him get kind of overmatched at the plate the last time he was up, and it really cost him, but he looks a little more comfortable with things right now. He's a guy I wouldn't write off. I would think his stock to me is way higher than Till or Kieschnick.
Yeah. Hey, Gary, velocity of Hembry is down. Pat pointed out. What do you make of that?
I don't know. I was surprised to see him throw the other night. I saw him in San Jose, but it's been a couple of years since I saw him down there. He was throwing 99 down there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's different. But I remember, if you recall here, Bumgarner came up. When he came up, his velocity was down, and there was some concern about he was not the guy they thought they were getting. So maybe it's maybe he's the end of the season type thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I was surprised.
I don't know if you mentioned it. Bruce mentioned it. I like the way he keeps the ball down.
Yeah. Fastball starts low and stays low, and coming in at the knees, and a lot of times on that, you know, that outside corner, that's a pretty tough pitch to hit. And his breaking balls look good. I wouldn't think his arm is bothering me. He's throwing a lot of pretty sharp breaking balls, and he looks super comfortable out there. He's got a little swagger to him, so I'd like to, you know, it's such a quick glimpse at the guy, but he's made a pretty good impression in a hurry.
You know, when it's all said and done last night, the whole thing was a shot in the arm last night. I don't know how to explain it, but, man, there was no problem being 20 games out last night.
Yeah, and once again, I mean, if we're in Atlanta, there's like 8 people in the stands. Or Cleveland, I mean, the fans have long given up, and they're thinking about football, and they're not going to the yard. And here you would have thought, they're 2 games out in a dogfight, you know, which is a great, it really says a lot about really the nature of the park. What a fun place it is, but also the way the fan base appreciates this team, and it doesn't matter what's going on. It's a constant.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. And one other thing, we had Bob Brenly on with us on SFG Productions yesterday, and I said, Bob, you know, who's going to win the playoffs and all this National League and all that? And he said something that was interesting. He said, well, you look at the Dodgers and what they're doing. But he says, you never can overlook the Cardinals.
No,
for some reason, you can't overlook the Cardinals. And it hit home with me. You know, this is just a team that never goes away.
Yeah, we've said this on the show before. They're always good. Not sometimes. They're always good. Every year, they're good. It's an amazing thing. I mean, you can go back decades. And once again, you know, they got Yadier Molina back. And, you know, they have their problems like everybody else, but they're definitely not going away. They'll be in the postseason with a lot more experience than the Pirates. And, you know, I wouldn't be at all surprised to see him get out of that first round and into the NLCS.
You know, it's funny. Hensley Mullins passed his citizenship test yesterday, and he's going to get sworn in 30 days. And he was telling me the questions. And one of the questions was, who is one of the architects, the writers of the U.S. Constitution? And he answered John Jay. And I said, why'd you say John Jay?
John Jay, the center fielder for the Cardinals.
Yeah. And he said that's the way I remembered it, because John Jay plays for the Cardinals.
Yeah, actually, John Jay and Alan Craig wrote the Constitution together.
David Freese is in the mix, too.
And the legendary John Hancock was in the middle of that in the Declaration of Independence. Hey, Bruce, thank you so much. Enjoy the second half. And what's your prediction on the Cal game?
I think Cal will get through it. Portland State seems to run out of miracles, but... disturbing first half, but Cal will win comfortably with a lot of work to do on defense this week.
All right. Pleasure. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Right
Thanks,
on, Bruce.
Bruce.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, go ahead.
All right. That is Bruce Jenkins. All right.